Good morning and happy Easter. Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John. And as I've mentioned many times, his gospels are so multifaceted. And what I wish to do is to slowly go through this gospel to reveal one thing in particular, the tenderness of God. Throughout this whole kind of encounter of the apostles with our Lord, you see this beautiful fatherly tenderness that our Lord kind of gives to the apostles. So the encounter begins with the apostles truly at a loss. They don't know what's happening. They've spent 3 years with our Lord. They've watched him perform great miracles. They have seen him walk on water. They watched him be crucified and died. And he had appeared to them now already 2 times. So they have seen him risen from the dead. So they've gone through all of this with the Lord. And so it's kind of comedic that then Peter says, I'm going fishing. You see someone who is totally at a loss. He's not sure what to make of everything that has just transpired. And so he's trying to figure it all out. He goes out onto the Sea of Galilee to go fishing all night, and they catch nothing. We hear that on the shore, at a distance, our Lord all the while is watching. One of the details we hear is that when they get to shore, there's a charcoal fire there. Now, if you ever burned any wood and had to make a charcoal fire on which to actually cook something, it takes time to burn down that wood. So you can imagine that Jesus is there on that shore for a few hours, simply watching. You can see there in a beautiful way this tender, fatherly heart that is present to them even though they don't seem to notice him or they don't recognize that he's there. And what is he doing there? Just kind of putting his arms aside, kind of laughing. They're not catching anything, you know? No. He's preparing a fire to cook them a meal. Again, there's just this very human kind of attentiveness to the apostles' needs. The apostles are out there. They catch nothing. You know that Peter probably remembers a long time ago when he was out all night catching nothing. It was his call. And then they hear children. In the Gospel of John, this is the first time that Jesus ever uses that name to call his apostles. The apostles are called his disciples. They're called, well, Peter in particular is called Satan. They're called all different sorts of names, but never children. And finally, at the end of this entire 3-year-long experience, and really put yourself in their shoes, this was a crazy 3 years. And then even a more crazy past a couple weeks. And they are utterly spent, confused, and they just caught nothing. In this place where they've really come to their knees, Jesus, for the first time, addresses them as children. Remember, Jesus had taught them that unless you become like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so it's in this place of utter brokenness and dependency where they're spent that the Lord finally gives them that name. John, the beloved, recognizes it's the Lord. And how? He tells them to cast the net over the side. They do, and they catch this miraculous amount of fish. Again, who was there at that first miraculous catch? John. John and Peter. It was their call. And so you see also put on display that our Lord is using their story to encounter them. It's a beautiful kind of touch upon our Lord. The Lord knows each one of you frontwards and backwards, inside and out. He knows your victories. He knows your great wounds and sufferings. He knows your story. And again, in a wonderful tenderness, the Lord uses that story to speak to us. He will bring back memories or play upon desires within our hearts that harken back to when we were a child to speak to us again. And he does this to Peter. This whole episode, if you listen to it, really kind of plays out like Peter's first call. He's fishing all night. They catch nothing. Some random dude tells him to do something. He does it, and they catch a ton of fish. And then they come up onto shore, and what does Peter smell? A charcoal fire. When was the last time Peter would have smelt a charcoal fire? When he denied him. And I can only imagine that the smell of that smoke would have just been like a slug to the gut. That it would have brought back that memory. He comes onto shore, there's our Lord, and instantly he smells that fire again. And what is drawn to his mind? The moment when he was standing by that fire to stay warm, and people said, aren't you his friend? And he said, no, I'm not. Aren't you his friend? No, I'm not. Aren't you his friend? No, I'm not. And Jesus looks at him straight in the eye, their eyes lock, and that crow calls. And that was Peter's utter death. To feel that his most intimate friend, he just denied. And the Lord, in a tenderness, brings him back to that spot. And then what does he do? Have some breakfast. There's something beautiful there. They've been out all night catching nothing. They're probably wet, damp, cold. And our Lord is attentive that they're probably really hungry. And so he's been there doing a fire, cooking some fish and some bread, and he has a meal with them. And then there's this powerful exchange. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Realize that Jesus calls Simon by his given name at birth. He doesn't call him Peter. His name has already been changed. In the most of the rest of the gospel, Jesus calls him Peter. Well, what was Peter? Peter was the great call. It was the foundation, the rock upon which the church was going to be built. It's this huge role that Peter was called onto mission to. And Jesus doesn't call him that. Again, it's his tenderness. He calls him Simon, son of Jonah. Just the humble humility. And then Jesus asks, do you love me? And the Greek there is agape me. Agape is divine love. It's self-sacrificial love. It's a love that doesn't count the cost, doesn't count the expense of oneself. It literally will die for the beloved. That's agape. And Peter, in his response, says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he uses the Greek philia me, which means, you know that I love you like a friend. Peter's worn down, broken down, and the sting of that memory when he denied the Lord is fresh in front of him. And Jesus says, do you love me? Are you willing to lay down your life for me? Because wasn't that Peter what Peter said? He said, Lord, I would never deny you. I would lay my life down for you. And then he denied him. So Jesus goes right back there and he says, do you love me? Do you agape me? And Peter says, Lord, I love you as a friend. Which is a beautiful love, but it's not the same type of love. Jesus asks again, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Agape me. Peter responds, Lord, you know that I love you. Philia te. And then Jesus does something beautiful. He says, Simon, son of Peter, do you philia me? He lowers the bar. And it distresses Peter. This is why we hear in the third time that he's asked that Peter's distressed. Lord, Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, do you love me? It's not that he's distressed that he's asked three times. He's kind of getting the picture. He denied Jesus three times. Our Lord is inviting him to now say that he loves him three times in a beautiful way. What distresses him is that Jesus says, do you love me with a divine love? No, I don't. Do you love me with a divine love? I don't, Lord. Do you love me just with a human love? And it hurts him because he wishes that he could love the Lord with the same type of love that Jesus loves him. And then our Lord, in a beautiful, tender way, prophesies to Peter the type of love that he will achieve. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. He said this signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. St. Peter was crucified in St. Peter's Square, obviously before St. Peter's was built, but there's this obelisk that still stands there, an Egyptian obelisk that the Roman emperors brought over as trophies. And that has stood there since the time of Peter. Peter would have been crucified about a couple hundred yards away from this tall obelisk, and feeling that he wasn't worthy to share the same type of death as Christ, he asked that he would be crucified upside down. Jesus tells Peter, I love you, I understand you, especially in your utter weakness, and I will meet you right where you're at, but I will beckon you into a love that will surpass what you believe you can do yourself. Peter loved our Lord with agape at the end of his life. He literally laid down his life for him. I think in all of this, what you see is this tender heart of our Lord coming to meet the apostles right where they're at, and in a very tender way, in ministering to their needs. In a few moments, as you come before the blessed Lord, I think realize the Lord knows your story front and back. He knows your victories, he knows your wounds, and he will use all of that story, every page of your story, to speak to you. And he will also take the bar, which is set so high, and bring it down to simply where you're at. So you experience his love. And then he will re-raise that bar, but will do it with him with you. In a few moments, as you receive our Lord, just spend some time with the tender and merciful heart of Christ.